Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. I don't know about you, dear listener, but when we were organizing our last big holiday abroad, the order of planning went something like this. We booked the big flight, then we booked the smaller flights, then we booked the ferries and the trains, then we took out travel insurance, then we sorted out the accommodation, which, you know, in my opinion, is arguably the best bit. And then we sorted out a few activities that we decided to lock in early. And it wasn't until a week or two before we were actually due to fly that I realized that I hadn't actually thought about how we were going to pay for our day-to-day expenses in the UK and Greece and the UAE, three countries which have, you know, different currencies and slight variations when it comes to the payment landscape. As we'll dig into on today's episode, though, having a think about your travel money options might be something worth adding to that early travel prep rather than doing it at the last minute like I did. Anyway, enough of me wishing that I was back in Greece. It's time to introduce today's guest, and I am very pleased to say that joining us today is Tristan Dakin, the Australian New Zealand country manager at Wise. Tristan, a very warm welcome to you, and welcome back to Friends with Money.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
You are very welcome. Tristan, obviously there's a few potential options that Australians can choose between when it comes to paying overseas, you know, debit cards, credit cards, travel money cards, cash. I think I've used them all over the years. So what might travelers want to think about in order to work out which option or perhaps a mix of options will suit their needs?
It's definitely worthwhile people having a think about where they're going because every country is a bit different, right? And I'm sure you've experienced it. Like some are a bit more cash heavy and some are very friendly for card spend and tap and go and digital wallets and things like that. So I think just do a bit of research, figure out what actually works in countries because you don't want to be stuck with one specific payment method in a place that's not particularly accommodating for that thing, right? Like if you've only got your card and you're in a place which only really uses cash, then you might get yourself in a bit of trouble. So that's one thing, like what's the most compatible? And then I guess the other consideration, you know, for people is what's the most cost-effective way? That's really something that we focus on at Wise. And it's like trying to give people, you know, cheap, convenient ways to spend their money overseas and transparently as well. So yeah, I think like the biggest tip that I have on all this is try and avoid as much as possible just using a bank card overseas. Because if you're just using your normal debit or credit card from your bank, you're going to get charged a lot of money and you probably don't realize it up front. And it might be a pretty rude shock when you get home to realize all the fees and charges that come with some of those cards. We commissioned a bit of research via YouGov, which is like a big global survey company, just to find out things like how are people spending money when they travel abroad. Like one of the big ones that jumped out at us is that over 90% of Aussies still use payment methods that are charging them a lot more than they need to be when they're overseas. So they're still using their bank cards, still using their credit cards. They're aware that they get charged, but they just don't know how much and they don't really realize till they get home. So yeah, I think that's a big one. You know, think about your cards and then generally prepaid and travel card options are the way to go. There are obviously specialist companies like Wise that focus on this, and there are a couple of bank cards that are also better than others. Like not all cards are created equal, but do a bit of research before you go, figure out what's going to be best for the place that you're going to, I think.
And don't leave to the last minute because then you don't have time to compare options and find out what's more expensive and what's cheaper and what's better and whatnot.
Yeah.
Tristan, I feel like every time I go overseas, there's a point I get to where I got to pay for something with my card at the checkout and I'm given the option of paying in the local currency or in my home currency, which is obviously Australian dollars. And without fail, I forget everything I've previously learned about why this exists and what I need to do. So, Tristan, is there like a more cost-effective option for people to choose in this situation? And as I was saying, why is it even an option at all?
So the short answer to this is there is a better way to do it. And it's always to choose the local currency. So everyone's been in that situation where they're either going to sort of like tap their card to pay for something, or they're withdrawing cash in an ATM and they get asked, do you want to pay in the local currency, or do you want to get charged in whatever your currency at home is? So in this case, you know, Australian dollars. The reason why they ask you is, well, one, because they have to, but not all places actually give you the option. So some just, you know, choose it for you. But if you do have the choice, always go to the local currency. Otherwise, you get stuck in what's called dynamic currency conversion. What it means is, so as an example, there's a lot of private ATM providers out there. So they're not necessarily ATMs that are owned by the banks. So we've all seen them in like 7-Elevens and things like that when you're traveling. They're kind of tourist traps. If you don't choose the local currency to withdraw cash in, it means that the private ATM owner gets to choose the exchange rate that they want to apply to you. So if you're paying in Aussie dollars, the machine will think, what's the worst possible exchange rate we can get away with that meets the local currency amount you're trying to withdraw, but costs you the absolute most Aussie dollars possible for that withdrawal? And they can be pretty extortionate, like above 20% of the total withdrawal value that you're taking out.
Wow. Mm.
So yeah, I guess that was a very long-winded way of saying always choose the local currency when you're asked, because what that means is, as an example, with a Wise card, if you choose the local currency and you're using your Wise card to withdraw, it's Wise that's doing the conversion. It's not the ATM or the point of sale terminal owner. And obviously Wise is going to do it just at you know, the mid-market exchange rate without any extra fees or FX markups. So it's a lot better for you, obviously.
I will try to remember this next time I go overseas, or I'll remember that we did a podcast where we chatted about it. I'll spend 5 minutes looking for it before I pay. So I'm playing it out loud at the restaurant or wherever I am. Tristan, you mentioned ATMs there, and that kind of segues me on nicely to my next point, because you know, it doesn't matter if I'm in Australia or abroad, anytime I'm charged a fee to withdraw cash, it always feels like a ripoff. I feel personally affronted by that. And I know that you've done a bit of research at Wise recently on this topic. So where are some of the most expensive countries in the world to withdraw cash?
Great question. So yes, we have done a bit of research. We obviously have a lot of data. You know, we have over 16 million Wise customers globally, and we have a lot of data of where our customers withdraw. And we can see the fees that they're charged when they withdraw from different ATMs. So we analyzed about 9.7 million different ATM withdrawals using a Wise card earlier this year. I think it was between sort of February and July. And we found a few culprits for where it's the most expensive. And a couple of these are pretty big travel destinations for Aussies. So Vietnam was seen to be the most expensive. I think the average withdrawal fee was 27% of the amount that you're withdrawing as an ATM withdrawal fee. Followed by, I think Argentina was about 20%. Colombia was up there with about 17%. And Indonesia, another big one for Aussies, was almost 11% as a withdrawal fee. So that's when you're withdrawing cash from ATMs. So like, I guess the main takeaway from that is, wherever possible, try not to withdraw cash. If you can just use your card and tap it, then you're going to obviously avoid all those fees. And most of those places you can do it. But if you really need to withdraw cash, try and do it as least frequently as possible. So get out bigger amounts and don't use the ATMs too often.
That makes a lot of sense. I was kind of struggling to remember the last time that I withdrew cash. And I think it might have actually been overseas when we were in Greece, perhaps, which was a couple of years ago now. Because in Australia, basically, I use a digital wallet and, you know, Google Pay in my case almost every single day. It's pretty much the only thing I use for in-person payments now. So yep. I guess that brings me on to my next question, Tristan. How commonplace are digital wallets overseas? And I guess, is there anything travelers should be aware of before they jet overseas with, you know, just their phones to pay with if they're like me?
Like once again, a little bit of research goes a long, long way. So we try to help out our customers. We have what's called a travel hub. So when you're traveling overseas, the app will sort of know where you're located, and it'll give you a lot of information in the travel hub about how to make payments and what the ATM fees are like. And generally if, you know, cards or cash are accepted in the place where you are. So just a few little pointers, like we're talking about today. Digital wallets like Google Pay and Apple Pay are widely, widely accepted now in many, many countries, and especially in major cities and retail outlets. You know, you're generally pretty safe. Put your card in your Apple wallet and you can tap away and avoid sort of ATM withdrawal fees. Another advantage is security, right? Because you're not carrying cash around on you. And if you're not like going out and going to bars and restaurants and stuff with your physical card, you're less likely to lose it, obviously, or get your card skimmed or cloned or pickpocketed or something like that. So there's a few security advantages. I think another cool thing that you can do with Wise and you can do with some other products as well is create digital cards and add them into your Google and Apple Pay wallets. So what that means is like just in the app, you can create as many different digital cards. So if you're traveling to Thailand, say, you can create a digital card and put it into your Apple wallet every time you use it, you can just tap your phone to pay for things. It's connected to your Wise account. And then at the end of the trip, you can just cancel the digital card and it goes away. And what that means is in the unlikely scenario that something has happened and someone's got a hold of your card number or skimmed your card at all, it doesn't matter because you've just cancelled it and it's not linked to your wallet anymore. So that's a pretty handy sort of security trick to use.
While we're on the topic of security then, Tristan, that was the kind of the other question that I really wanted to get into is how people can go about keeping their money safe. I guess whether that's, you know, money or cards that they're, you know, carrying on their person, you know, physical cash or cards or money in their bank account. Do you have any practical advice for people on this front, Tristan, aside from stuffing cash in their socks or bras or undies or whatever their garment of choice is?
Well, try and avoid doing that if possible. As I said, like if you can avoid carrying cash around, then that's a very obvious way of keeping your money safe. We've touched on a few already. So at risk of repeating myself, I think if you can add your card to a digital wallet and have a separate spending card. You know, if you create a digital card with a specific purpose for a specific trip, that's always good because you can cancel it or you can freeze it at any time instantly. You can do things like set ATM withdrawal limits as well. And that's one cool thing that you can do with Wise. So, you know, if someone does get hold of your card and tries to make a big withdrawal, they're not able to because you've set a lower limit. Put a safe passcode on your device. I mean, most phones, if you're going to use a digital wallet to pay for something nowadays, most phones have some sort of biometrics, which is an extra layer of security, which is great. So yeah, I guess all these things added up will keep you pretty safe in the aggregate.
And save me from stashing my cards and my cash with a rubber band at the top pocket of my denim jacket, which I definitely did last time, which probably wasn't the best idea. And I definitely forgot where it was a couple of times. So that's not ideal. Or wearing one of those fanny packs called bum bags, non-American, that you can get, which you can get these like flesh-colored ones that go around your midriff now,
yeah,
which
that's just right.
Supposedly
yeah.
Blend in with your stomach and make you look like an unappealing target. So yeah, anyway, you can avoid those if you
It depends how cool you want to look as well, I guess. So
that's true, yeah.
There's a bit of a balancing act there.
Daggy and safe or cool and at risk, no. Tristan, yeah. This has been such a great chat today. Before we let you go though, I just wanted to ask, I mean, it's such a broad subject, but do you have like a single tip or a piece of advice or anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we let you go?
Look, there's endless things aside from what we've talked about, but I guess like other big ones that we see, try and avoid those sort of cash conversion places at airports. They're an absolute ripoff. They all charge, you know, close to 10% margins on the FX, which is just crazy. Like there's no need to do that. So yeah, avoid those places at the airports to switch your cash. There's a few other little tricks. Like if you do have a travel card or a specialist, you know, overseas spending card, like a Wise card, for instance, think about all the apps and things that you use when you're overseas. So if that's, you know, Grab, if you're in Asia, or Gojek, or, you know, even Airbnb, booking.com, which you might use on the fly when you're overseas. Add your card to those things as well, because it means that when you're paying stuff, you're going to, again, avoid all the conversion fees and international transaction fees, et cetera, that are associated with those apps when you're using them overseas. Uber is another one. You know, when you're in another country using Uber, you're going to get charged in the local currency. So if you just have your bank card or your credit card still attached to that, you're going to rack up those international fees pretty quickly. So yeah, I think they're two key ones that, in addition to the other things we've spoken about, should put you in a pretty good spot.
You give me flashbacks now to standing in London Stansted, wary that I didn't take out any cash or I tripped to Greece and being ready to get absolutely stung by the cash exchange place there. And boy, was I. That's something that I'll definitely not be doing anytime soon. Yeah. Tristan, travel's a topic that I never get sick of talking about, but we will leave things there for today. So many thanks for your time and your expertise today. It's been a pleasure chatting.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That is it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news, or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.